They're going to get up there, get the kids settled down, and then go. That's all right. John chapter 4. And right, verse number 30. So then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Eat." But he saith unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestoweth no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us as we just look over this passage, as we prepare for Vacation Bible School. And Lord, not just for Vacation Bible School, but for our life altogether, I pray that you'd help us to be servants for you. In your name, amen. Sunday, I was talking about, Sunday morning, about our church having servants. And I fully agree that our church is full of people that are willing to work. And I just want to remind us, and this is for myself as well, why do we work? Why do we do what we do? Why is it that on Sunday night we're going to forego a normal traditional evening service and pack this place with as many kids as we can? As Jesus said here, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Think of that passage where it talks about my eye affecteth my heart. When I was down in Dominican Republic with Pastor Shear, my eye affected my heart. What I saw broke my heart. We saw kids that ran around with nothing on. Completely nothing. You'd go up and talk to them and they'd say, "I only have one pair of clothes and I don't want to get it dirty for Sunday, for church. So I don't wear it." They would have just your regular tin type house and, a strong wind would blow it over. But it's amazing that you'd see a little cord that would run from place to place, and they'd all have some type of cable or TV that would be spliced in there. I don't know how they'd do it, but they had it there. My eye affected my heart. We saw people in that guy that had a third grade education because his dad died when he was in third grade, and he left school because he had to provide for his family. If he didn't, they wouldn't eat. He was 16. Never knew what it was like to go to high school. My eye affected my heart. I looked and I saw these people that were lost. There was a guy down there. He was 17 years old. His name was Michiel. And he got burdened for this village up in the mountains that nobody had ever really knew of, but he did. And he would walk all the way to that village, went around and invited all these people to the church service that the Americans were going to have. Came back and told the missionary, Brother Grennan, "We've got to go back to that place." And his eye affected his heart. He saw these people. There was no church, no pastor, nobody there to tell them the truth that they were lost and on their way to hell. And his eye, what he saw, affected his heart. Now, we got to be careful with this because our eyes can affect our heart to do the work of God. If you come in here Sunday and you're ready to work, you're ready to do something, and you get to sit down with the kid and you're able to lead them to the Lord, it's going to get you so excited. There's nothing like it. There are a lot of people that led their first person to the Lord at Vacation Bible School. It just does something to you. You think, boy, I actually had an impact on somebody. Now, I know the Lord saves them, but you got to be the tool. And when you're here, your eye can affect your heart. You can get a desire to really serve the Lord. And not doing it just for, you know, for somebody to stand up and congratulate you for what you're doing. But you know once you leave, that kid was once bound for hell and had no idea. And now he'll never know what hell's like. He'll see it just as Abraham saw it as he carried Lazarus up. We'll see it, but we'll never experience it. And when you're able to do that and you're able to talk to them, think of the passage in Romans, and a lot of times we use this for preachers, but Romans chapter 10, and we use this for soul winning as well in verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" A lot of times we think of that word preacher and we think of Pastor Shear. This is just saying, how can somebody hear unless somebody is telling them the gospel? A pastor will do that. Our pastor stands behind the pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday, and he preaches the Word of God. Without shame. He stands up and tells us what the Lord has laid on his heart, and he uses the Bible. He preaches from the Word of God. It's not his opinion. It's the truth. But for us as well, when we go out and we tell other people about the Lord on Saturday, a soul winning, throughout the week, whenever you see somebody or get the opportunity to talk to them, in a sense, you're preaching to them. You are telling them the news that they're bound for hell unless they trust Christ. As it goes on to say, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." God says, "Hey, I like it when you talk about me to somebody else." But they won't know unless we do some work. They won't know if we don't show up. For on Sunday we say, "Oh, I get to take tonight off from church. It's Vacation Bible School. They can take care of it. I'm going to sit at home and watch whatever, the Olympics or whatnot. I love the Olympics, but we have kids that are lost and dying to hell and going to hell, and you have the opportunity to be a part of that. Look under the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Your eye can affect your heart. You come and you see these kids, you hear their stories. It'll break your heart. It'll soften it if you let it. The thing is, though, that you have to be careful of is that your eye can affect your heart, but not for the good. We look at this passage and he says, "Look in the fields for they are white," and you're looking and he's wanting compassion. And as the other verse, it says, my eye affected my heart. We have to be careful because our eyes are a window into our heart. What we look at, what we watch, can steal our hearts away from God. You think of Solomon, the wisest man. What stole his heart? His wives. The Bible talks about it, how he would marry all these different ladies for peace. You guy's not going to come and come against a war against with Israel if his daughter's sitting in there. And he used it as a tactic, but here they brought in their gods and they built up their shrines, and he looked and he saw, and it affected his heart. And they slowly turned his heart away from God. Why? Because of his eyes, what he looked upon. Our eyes affects our heart. And he comes and he says, as you continue on in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That he hath sowed, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We're all going to be doing a lot of work this week. And it doesn't matter who's going to get the credit. It doesn't matter. If you think about this passage of Scripture, there are going to be people that, before vacation Bible school, who've already been doing a lot of work. Think of the buses. There's a lot of work that's already been done. And as they bring those kids in and they unload those kids, they may not be the one that leads them to the Lord. But they'll have a part of it. There's a piece that they go to. You may be there just standing there running one of the activities in building number 2 during fun time. You may have the fish pond. The dreaded fish pond that everybody hates to work. Because you get these little 4 and 5 year olds that love to run and grab a pole and they grab a fish and they pull it out real fast. You may get hit with the fish. You may get water all over you. Who knows what's going to happen at the fish pond. But you're sitting there and you're working that place and those kids love being there. If you're not there to do it, it's going to be pretty boring for them. Can you imagine fun time with no help? Kids run into building number 2 and they're looking for direction and it's empty because there's no workers. The only fun they're going to have is raiding the general store. But the work that goes on encourages them to tell others about our Vacation Bible School. All you may do is just sit there and count tickets. But you're doing something. You're laboring. You may not reap it as far as you actually taking a kid and showing them how they can trust Jesus or having some type of more positive impact on them in a more direct way. But that work that you're doing, God doesn't not notice that. He's not blinded by it. He sees what you're doing. He sees your heart. That you're willing to do something. May not be the person up here standing up on the pulpit. As Pastor Shearer, maybe he gets up on the pulpit and says, my God is so big, and we all get scared that he might fall off. Break his leg or something. You may not be the center. But you know, if you think about a car, you think of the parts that everybody knows about. The engine. Everybody talks about. What you got under there? What engine do you have? You look at the wheels and you look at all the different things that's real noticeable for people to see. But Brother John, if you have a water pump, simple water pump. It's bad. How's your car going to be? It's not going too far. A simple, small little part. To some that may seem insignificant. But it's so vital. It's a vital piece of your vehicle. There's so many little things inside of a vehicle. Brother Ross can tell you a whole lot more than I can. I just look at it with a blank stare. But some of you guys that really know how to work on cars and you know how to, you know, to do all these different things, you know all the little things that really make up the vehicle. Just how much an impact an air filter will have. Just simple things. Nothing flashy. Nothing that's really drawn attention to itself, but it's working. It's laboring. And when we labor, as it says here, we get a piece of that reward, regardless of what you do. Regardless if you're just out there patrolling, making sure kids aren't fighting and stealing tickets and everything else. Or if you're sitting with a kid opening up the Bible and showing them the Word of God. We all get a part of it. When Pastor Shear gets up and he says, how many kids trust Christ? I may not lead anybody to the Lord. And usually for the past couple of years, I haven't led anybody to the Lord during Vacation Bible School. But we all get to be a part of it if we show up and work. We have to be here, to be present, to contribute. Every little detail. You may not know it, but something that you may do may touch a kid's heart. He may run home to his friends the next day and say, you've got to come to our Vacation Bible School. You've got to come and do this. The general store is just amazing. Look at all the stuff that I got just for saying verses. And real quick on that, I didn't say it earlier, but during our junior camp, when they say verses, it's got to be spot on. No mistakes. Because those kids, we want them to know the Bible. These kids, a lot of them, they've never been in church before. They've never heard of Romans 3:10 or Romans 3:23. They may not even know how to say the word righteous. Unless they heard it on some cartoon show. Finding Nemo or something like that, you know. They may not know it. That's okay. If they get it wrong, if they're putting the effort in, they don't have to have it exact word by word. Now, if all they say is, there is none, and that's it, you know, it may need a little bit more work. But, you know, don't forget what the spirit of Vacation Bible School is. It's to get these kids excited about coming so that we can give them the opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. That's what it's all about. That's our main goal, our focus. Because then as we get that sheet that says their name and their address, and we come back and we call on them and we talk to the parents and we say, hey, let me tell you what your son did at our Vacation Bible School. He trusted Christ as his Savior. He's going to know for sure he's on his way to heaven. Do you know that? Are you going to see him there? Let me show you what we showed him. We have people in our church that are products of our Vacation Bible School. They are directly affected by it, where they are here in our church because of it. It's a tool that we're able to use, but it takes work. Pastor Shear, he might be a little growly. He might be a little loud. He won't stay on schedule. If you look at what the time says as far as the schedule, you may be looking at your watch and it'll be 8:17 and you'll be stuck in a class with kids still saying memory verses and you'll be sitting there saying it should be fun time. And he knows. He's going to fluctuate the schedule to make sure that it's working right. He may find out that they're not ready for fun time and draw out another 5 minutes. That's okay. It's his schedule. He's the boss. It's his vacation Bible school. He's running it. But you know, you may be in there and you're thinking, oh, man, am I really doing anything? Am I really helping? We got a bunch of 4- and 5-year-olds. That 4- and 5-year-old may come to church, may leave, not knowing for sure he's on the way to heaven. May not even understand it. My son Marcus, he's starting to kind of feel it out. He'll be 5 in a couple weeks. He's starting to get pieces of it. He knows he wants to go to heaven. But he doesn't realize everything that's with it. I don't want to sit there and say, hey, Marcus, just pray this prayer. You'll go to heaven. Okay. And not understand what he's doing. And then grow up saying, oh, I'm saved, and have no clue. But they may leave. But, you know, they may end up coming back over and over again, and over time, we're able to talk to them and explain to them. They may start riding on Sundays when they've never come before. It may be that their parents start coming because of the fact they like what their kid's learning in junior church, vacation Bible school. The impact that we have on our community this week is going to be huge if we work hard. But it's not all about us. It's all about the Lord. If we work for ourselves, we're not going to have the impact that we want. We're not going to get the results that we want because we've excluded Him from it. A lot of people can do a lot of great things in their own ability. That's true. People can preach. They can, if they've got a charismatic attitude, they can draw people to them without the Holy Spirit's power. But if we really get a hold of God and we pray and we beg God to do something special this week, we could get together Wednesday after it's all said and done and say, boy, we could tell God was in it. The results, no other reason. God was at our vacation Bible school and we could tell. And then continue on building off of that and reaching people. It's not just to get as many kids as we can and get them to trust Jesus as the Savior and be done with it and say, all right, we had 50 that trusted Christ this week. Amen. It's more than that. It's getting back and getting to the families and talking to them. Letting your eyes be affected by what you see for the work of God. You get in and you work a class, I guarantee you, or a fun time or whatever, it's going to amaze you. And the impact that you can have on a kid, you'll never know exactly what it'll be. I think of Mrs. Shear. I believe she's got saved at Vacation Bible School. You think that impact of that lady that led her to the Lord had on Mrs. Shear. It was huge. We may get that. We may get that opportunity. We may not actually be that person that does. But can you think of the people that were working that Vacation Bible School that indirectly helped her come to know that? Make that decision. Just as special as the person that opened up the Bible and showed her what it was. God says, hey, if you're working, you may labor and somebody else may reap it. That's all right. We all get credit for it. God's keeping score. He knows. And He's going to reward based off of our faithfulness. So I encourage you this week, this Sunday, Saturday, even tomorrow and Friday, be out, be vigilant talking to people. We should have flyers already ready to go. talking to people about Vacation Bible School, about church in general, Sunday morning, getting people to come, inviting people. That's what it's all about. Just trying to do our best for the Lord. Not for our own sake, but for His glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd be with us this week. Lord, I pray that You'd encourage us to speak to somebody about You. Or maybe at a gas station, it may be out walking, wherever we may be. Lord, help us to have eyes that are observant and a tender heart, that we talk to them and invite them to church. Help us to be faithful and be in our places on Sunday night and the rest of the week for Vacation Bible School. Lord, I think of our pastor as he's going to be coming home on Thursday. Lord, I pray that You'd just be with him, give him safety. I pray that we as a church would continue to lift him up during this time, and family members going home to be with You. And Lord, I just pray that we would do our part and encourage him as much as we can. In Your name, amen. Real quick, Mrs. Solomon, if so.